Thank you all for joining us. This is Divine Word Ministries. I'm Pastor Jason Warren, and this is our Bible study. Tonight, we're going to be talking about faith. Let's go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and your presence. God, the hour has come for us to teach about your good word. God, I come into me, less of me and more of you, none of me and all of you, God. Think through my mind and speak through my vocal cords what you would have me to say to these, your sheep, God, so that we may be so gracious to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, like I said, today we're going to be talking about faith. And this is going to be an interaction lesson, so I'm going to lead y'all participation in this one, okay? So if you'll grab your Bibles and go with me to Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. We're going to start at 1, and we're probably not going to get past 1 tonight. I'm going to try, but we're probably not going to get past 1 tonight. And it reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that things which are then seen are not made of things which do appear." So in here we're seeing, he said, now faith. And we know that the word now, that's an action word. It's meaning here in the present tense, the now, right? Here in the present is what he's talking about. He's saying, so your present faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so we have to go and see, okay, you said your present faith. So that means you have to have faith already. And so if you go over with me to Romans 12 and 3, and we were in Romans last week, and we were talking about your mindset. And so here we are now, we're going on with not only your mindset, but we're putting faith into it. It says, "For I say, through the grace of given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to be absorbent according to God that has dealt every man the measure of faith." It says every man was dealt the measure of faith. Now, your Bible might say a measure of faith, depending on what translation you have, but everybody got a measure of faith. And he's saying, with that same measure of faith that I gave you, that is what you're going to use in the now. So when he goes back to say, now faith, he's saying this current faith in which I dealt you, the faith that I gave you, is the substance of things hoped for. And we're gonna get to the substance here in a minute. But he's saying that particular faith, this faith that I gave you to do what I told you to do, or what I've called you to do, is the substance of things that are hoped for. And so then you go over to Matthew, because now let's see what can we do with this little bitty faith. And so he says in Matthew 17 and 20, it says, "Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And he's saying, so if you have the faith of a mustard seed, if you have the small faith of a mustard seed, let's see what a mustard seed looks like. Everybody see that? The yes. Little bitty thing, that's a mustard seed. And he says, if you have the faith this size, if you have the faith this small, then you'll be able to say to that mountain, okay, move over there, and the mountain move. And so he's telling you, he says, okay, so now faith. So he's saying now, The faith, that bitty size, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so now let's look at what substance is. What is substance? Because if the faith is the substance of it, then what is substance? And so if you look at substance, comes from the Latin word, and I can't say that, substance, which means to stand firm. And substance comes from the other Latin word, which y'all see it right there on your screen, which means to, which means beginning, or is essence, the essence of. And so we're saying now faith is the essence of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so you're saying that the essence, the substance, the what it's made from. And so if you think of it like this, if you're making a cake, and I know all y'all, you know, bakers out there, you sit there and you're making a cake, and you grab your flour, and you grab your oil, and you grab your water, and you grab your butter. All of these are the substance of a cake, but they're not the cake. If you take flour and just put flour in the oven, you don't get a cake. If you take butter and put butter in the oven, you don't get a cake. If you put oil and put oil in the water, in the oven, you don't get a cake. They're the substance. They're what the cake is made of. They're the essence of the cake, but that's not the cake. And so he's saying, now your current faith is the substance. It's what your hope is made out of. He said, and then it's also the evidence of things not seen. And so back to the cake illustration. And so when we grab the flour and the butter and the oil and the water, these things are the substance. And they're the evidence that we're going to make a cake. But the cake still has not been seen yet. But if you know and you put all these things out on the counter and somebody walks by, they're like, ooh, you're finna make a cake. Because that's the evidence. That's the evidence of a cake is being made. But you don't see the cake. And so this is where you have to be able to see those things that are not as though they are. And that's where we're going to jump down to the third verse where he says, faith is the understanding that the world was formed from the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made from things which did not appear. And he's saying, so that what was seen didn't come from what was already here. And that's what he's saying. The cake did not come from, the making of the cake was not, the outcome of the cake was not seen with the flour. It wasn't seen with the oil, but it was seen because all these substances put together is what makes up the cake. And so he's saying your faith now is the substance. It's the root of the ingredients. It is the root thing of your hope. So if you don't have any faith, then you don't have any hope, because without faith, you can't have hope in something, because faith is what's saying, okay, I believe that this is going to happen. And so he's saying faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then with faith, that's the evidence. That's how you know, because I have enough faith to know that God is going to pull me through whatever it is I'm going through. That's the evidence that I'm going to get through what I'm going through, because my faith is my evidence of the things that I haven't seen yet. So I haven't seen him provide, I haven't seen him give me a house, but I know that my faith, I have enough faith to know that I'm getting one. I haven't seen him get me a better job, but I have enough faith to know that I'm getting one. I haven't seen him give me a car, but I have enough faith to know I'm getting one. I haven't seen my health get better, but I have enough faith to know that it is. I haven't seen my kids get better, but I have enough faith to know that it is. Because your faith is what's the root and the ground that pushes you to that next level. Your faith is what takes you from faith to faith. Your faith is what gets you past the level in which you are, because you're saying, okay, I know that although I don't see it yet, because of my faith, and my faith being the substance of things that I don't see, then I know that my faith is coming to pass. I know that it's coming to pass. Go ahead, Alma.
Okay, Elder Warren, I wanted to know, is there things that would stop faith from working? What are some of the things that will stop my faith from working?
So he that's a great question. And if you go back over to Matthew 17 and 12 and 20, he told him, he said, ye of unbelief. So let's look at this for a second. This is what was going on in here. So a man had brought, and I'm paraphrasing this to you. You can read it for yourself. It's Matthew. It starts at Matthew 17, and I believe like the 15th verse or so. But a man had brought his son to the disciples for the disciples to deliver him because he was sick with cerebral palsy, I believe. He had some kind of sickness. I want to say it was cerebral palsy, if memory serves me correctly. And so they brought their son to the disciples for the disciples to pray for him and get him healed. But the disciples could not do it. And so he brought his son to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, look, I brought my son is sick. I brought my son to the disciples. The disciples couldn't heal him. So now I'm bringing him to you. And so Jesus immediately healed the son. And so after everybody left, the disciples went to Jesus and said, okay, Jesus, hold on. You know, what happened? Why couldn't we deliver the little boy? Why couldn't we get him delivered? And this was Jesus's answer to them. He said, because your unbelief, you don't believe enough. And so that's one of the things that will keep your faith from working, because you can't have faith in unbelief. If you believe that God is going to do something, then you have to believe that. And if you believe that he's not, then you have to believe that too. You can't believe on one side and not believe on the other. That's why there's a scripture in there where Jesus God is talking to a man, and the man is talking to God, and he tells God, he says, look, help my unbelief. Help the part of me that is not believing in you. Help the part of me that I'm still struggling with, because it's that part that keeps you from obtaining your faith. If you don't believe that God can do it, then you don't have faith that he will. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yes, that was beautiful. So you're saying that unbelief can stop faith from moving. What about our attitudes or our spirits? You know, like if we got that nonchalant, like, oh, he ain't gonna never do it. I know that's probably part of unbelief, but I'm saying I felt it was part of the speaking, you know, over the message that you spoke last week, where where we have to watch what we say so we don't put ourselves into not getting things.
And that's exactly true. That's exactly what that is. You can talk yourself out of a blessing, because your mouth is as a two-edged sword. And he tells you that it cuts both ways. It cuts good and it cuts bad. And everybody uses that scripture as saying, oh, okay, you know, you can cut somebody down to the bone, or you can lift them up, which yes, this is very true, but you can also cut yourself down to the bone, and you can also lift yourself up. And so if you speak negatively over your own life, then negative is going to happen over you, because you're releasing this into the atmosphere. And understand this, that the angels are not the only one that's in the atmosphere. Because if you remember back at in Moses, when Satan came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus asked him, what are you doing? And he says, oh, I've been going to and fro from the earth. That means I've been coming back and forth from the earth. I'm in the atmosphere. And so whatever you release up here, then that's what I can send my demons down to attack. The same thing goes with Jesus. Whatever you release in the atmosphere, that's what he sends his angels down there to do. And so when you release, oh, my day ain't going good, or I'm having a bad day, or I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, or I did this, or today's going to be bad, oh, they're going to get on my nerves. When you release that into the atmosphere, that's what you're sending. You're sending the demons down there to take care of that, to ensure that what you're saying is going to come to pass. But when you say, okay, look, I'm the head and not the tail, I'm above and not beneath, you know, I'm a lender, I'm not a borrower, this day is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it, everything is going to go according to the way of the Lord today, God's going to order my footsteps, God's going to guide my tongue, I'm going to do exactly what the Lord says that I'm supposed to do, then that's when the God releases angels down on your behalf to ensure that what you just said happens. And so, yes, your mouth does control your faith, but it's how much faith you have is going to determine what you say. Because if you don't believe that God can order your footsteps, then you're not going to say that God can order your footsteps. If you don't believe that God can make the crooked path straight, then that's not what you're going to say. So whatever you believe, that's what comes out of your mouth.
Elder Warren, how can we increase our faith?
Well, you increase your faith by reading the word, by getting in the faith. And so I can, let me see. So when you go, the Bible says you go from faith to faith. You go from faith to faith by stepping out on the faith that you have. You have to sow the faith that you currently have. I have two hands raised. I don't know who they were.
It was me.
Sharita, I see. I'll get to you in a second, Sharita. But so it's just like the mustard seed. When you plant that mustard seed, when you plant the seed grows into a tree. But if you hold on to that seed, then all you have is a seed. And so God gave everybody a measure of faith. He gave you a measure of it. Now, what you do with that measure is up to you. Now, how you grow in it is because you plant it. You get rooted and grounded in your faith. You start believing and speaking your faith. And as you speak your faith, God gives you more faith. Because God gives you faith to get you to and from whatever situation you're in. And so and we'll talk about this. We'll probably get into this next week or the week after, about your gift. Because that's what he's saying. He's saying, I give you a measure of faith to do the gift in which I gave you. Now, when you start getting into your gift, then your faith increases because now you're operating in the faith that I gave you for the purpose in which I gave it to you. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead, Sharita.
Elder Warren, I just wanted to add that I feel like with faith, it's like a life experience. Well, for me, it's like a life experience thing. You know, that's when it grew. You know, my faith grew with more of a life experience. Because when, like I said, when I was at two different jobs and when I was, you know, just overworking myself, trying to get this, trying to get that, you know, it was just like I wasn't believing that God was going to provide for me and give me, you know, better ways to provide without making me stressed out, overwhelmed, and everything like that. But then when I sat back, and I'm like, you know, God blessed me with a good job. God blessed me, you know, to see a whole lot of things and to understand a whole lot of things with, you know, fixing my credit, doing, you know, all the things that I need to do to, you know, continue on with a better me. So I said, I'm going to sit back. What I'm going to do is I'm getting into my prayer, you know, and I'm just going to believe, and I know it's going to come to pass.
So your belief, you starting putting your belief in God and not your belief in yourself is
right.
What increased your faith.
Right.
Exactly. And that's how faith works. You say, once you use your faith for what I gave it to you for, then that's how you get more.
Right.
Because as you use it for the its intended purpose, then it grows. Because as you step out on faith, then you're going to need more faith to continue stepping. Think about it like this. If you're crossing a bridge, an old bridge, you know how you put the wood down? I don't know whether y'all have been. I know Vons, you know what I'm talking about. how they used you have to put the you remember the what was it how you have to put the little wood down and you cross over the wood and then you have to take that same wood that you just crossed over and put it back down so that you can continue stepping forward on the little piece of board, go across the little river thing that they make. You remember that, Rondra?
Yes.
She probably don't
remember. I remember that.
But yeah, and so that's the same way that your faith works. You have to take your faith from this situation and apply it to the next situation. But as you apply it to that next situation, it then grows. And then you apply it to the next situation. And then it then grows. Because each situation that you get into, you're going to need more faith to continue going. You can't continue to have the same faith that he gave you as the measure, because then you're still stuck in that same elementary style schooling. And so when you think of it like a school, you take what you learned at first grade and apply it to second grade. And then you take what you learned at first and second grade and apply it to third grade. And so your faith is the same way. You take what you learned in the first situation and you apply it to the second situation, and then it grows your faith. And then you take your faith from the second situation and you apply it to the third situation, and that grows your faith. And so that's how you grow from faith to faith. Any more questions? I don't see any more hands raised.
Yeah, my hand was raised back up.
Okay, go ahead.
I had a question. Is this more like, I can't tell you like exactly, but the walking on water story. Isn't that more, wasn't that with the faith as well?
Yes and no. So that was more so on keeping your eyes on God.
On the Lord.
So,
okay.
Yeah. And that's what happened. He said, step out. And Peter stepped out. And now Peter stepped out on faith. Yes.
Okay.
But what kept him going was keeping his eyes on the Lord, keeping that directional contact with God. That's what kept him going. When he got distracted, then he began to sink. And that's a whole nother message in its entirety, and we'll have to do that one another day. But as long as you keep your eyes on the prize, then you'll make it to your goal. But right. It's when you start getting distracted by all these other things that's going on in life. I heard a song today, and Lisa Rita, you got me off track, but it's okay. But I heard a song today, and he said in the song, and it made me really sit down and think about this. He said, the devil cannot really attack you per se. He can't really deal with you, but he causes a storm around you to get distracted by where you're going. And so if you think about it and you look at it like this, nobody's going to travel out in the storm. And so as long as it's not raining in my house, then I'm safe in my house where I'm at. So follow me for a second. If I stay in my house and there's a storm on the outside, as long as I'm in my house, then I'm not going anywhere. I'm not pursuing anything because I'm in the house. But the minute I step outside in the storm, then I'm going somewhere. I'm headed in some type of direction. So the devil will like to keep you in the house so that you cannot pursue God's purpose for your life. And because of that, he will create a storm on the outside of your house, keeping you inside the house. And as long as you're inside the house, he doesn't really care what you do inside the house, because you're not going anywhere. You're not pursuing anything. You're not about your father's business. And so he wants to keep you here. And in your mind, you will stay here because here is where it's safe, because it's not raining in your house. But what you need to know is that the devil cannot attack you, because he says in Psalms, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. So the shadow of the Almighty is covering you. So he's taking the storm for you. So as long as you walk with God, then the storm is not going to affect your life. So you can step outside of your house and you can go about your Father's business and do what God has purposed you to do, because you're in the shadows of the Almighty. Because the Almighty is taking that storm for you, and you're just hiding in his shadows. But if you don't know that you can dwell in the shadows of the secret place of the Most High, then you're not going to step outside your house. Ooh, that was a whole another message altogether. But okay. Any more questions? I don't see any more hands raised. Okay. So that is honestly all the time that we have. Okay. Are you raising your hand? Okay. That is all the time that we have for today. Thank you guys for participating. Thank you everybody that tuned in to be with us today. If you would, if you go to our website, you can, our website, www.divinewordministries.org, and make your donations. Your donations is how we're able to keep doing what we're doing. You can also find us on Cash App, Divine Word Men, Divine Word M-I-N, on Cash App. Make your donations there. Again, this is how we are able to continue to do what we do. And we thank you for your participation, and we thank you for your efforts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you've granted us in your presence. God, thank you for the time that you allowed us to learn about your word. God, keep us safe from day to day so that we may be able to meet with you again. And I pray, amen.
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 Happy Mother's Day, guys. I love y'all.
Happy Mother's Day, Sandy. Love you too.
Hey, love you.